and then we'll do the word by word synonyms.
Sita Kata Shavana Dipita Rachayena Shishtam Milokya Nupate Dashakandarena Jognedu Mutaina Vapucha Shamatopa Krishto Marichamashu Vishikena Yatakam Ugraha. Everyone understands that? No. Okay. Sita Kata. Topics about Sita Devi. Shavana. By hearing. Dipita. Agitated. Ritshayena. Lusty desires within the mind of Ravan. Shrishtam. Created. Vilokya. Seen that. Ripate. O King Parikshit. Dashak Khandarena. By Ravana, who had 10 heads. Jagne, the Lord killed. Adbhuta Ena Vapusha. By a deer made of gold. Ashramattaha. From his residence. Apakrishtaha. Distracted to a distance. Maricham. The demon Maricha. Who assumed the form of a golden deer. Ashu. Immediately. Vishikena. By a sharp arrow. Yata, as, kam, daksha, ugraha, Lord Shiva. Translation. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashrama, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. So, Om Ganativananda Shaganjana, Shilakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shivarave Namaha. So, one may ask, how was Lord Ram bewildered by this magical trick of Maricha? Because obviously he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he could see through any demon's magical tricks. And this demon was not a pure devotee. So how did he become bewildered? And also the question is, why did Sita encourage Lakshman to go after and try to rescue Lord Ram when this demon Maricha started yelling, Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Lakshman, Sita? Why? Because Sita is the supreme goddess of fortune, so how could she be an illusion about these things? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was all planned out beforehand between Ram and, not between Ram and Sita. It was between Ram and Maya Sita. It's very interesting. There was a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya going to South India, and he went to the house of a Brahmin, and the Brahmin invited him for prasad. And when he got there for prasad, there was no prasad. And he said, you know, why haven't you given me prasad? You invited me for prasadam. And the Brahmin, who was a worshipper of Sita and Ram, said, Sita has been kidnapped by Ravan. How can I take prasadam? How can I cook? And so later on, he cooked a little bit for Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya traveled elsewhere in South India, and he came upon this Kurma Purana. There's many different Puranas. There's 18 Mahapuranas. Purana means like history, ancient history. It's like you have two divisions of histories in the Vedic literature is this, itihasa, which means thus it happens, and purana means basically old. But especially a Mahapurana, has several different aspects. It talks about the creation, the dissolution, the Lord's pastimes. That's what defines a Mahapurana, or differentiates it from an itihasa, or history. So in the Kurma Purana, it actually stated that Ravan didn't kidnap Sita, he kidnapped Maya Sita. Because the real Sita had been given to the fire god for safekeeping, and the Maya Sita, or Chaya or Maya, that means the reflection of Sita, was given to Ram. So this whole thing was planned out. Ram knew what was going to happen. Sita knew what was going to happen. The only person who didn't know what was going to happen was who? No, Lakshman. They didn't tell Lakshman this was all a trick. The poor Lakshman, you know, he was the one who was actually in the dark the whole time. So what happened is that when Ram ran after this golden deer who was Maricha, and Maricha had actually previously decided to die at the hands of Ram because he was given the choice, you either die at the hands of Ram or Ravan. So he thought, you know, if I die at Ravan's hands, I don't go back to Godhead. If I die at Ram's hands, I get benefited. So he made that choice. He actually knew he was going to die. And he also chanted the names of Lakshman and Sita when he left this world. So that means he went back to Godhead. Because yam yam bhavi smaran bhavam yajate ante kalevaram. Whatever one remembers at the time of death, that's what happens. So at the time of death, he was chanting, Lakshman Sita! Lakshman Sita! And then, poof, that's it. Next thing he knew, he was in the transcendental ayodhya in the spiritual world. So if you go back to Godhead, you can meet Maricha. So when Lakshman heard his cry, Lakshman thought, you know, there could be no problems with Ram. Because Ram, he can take care of some stupid deer or demon. Because previously he had seen Ram kill 14,000 Rakshasas. 14 giant Rakshasas and 14,000 Rakshasas. So he thought, you know, there's no problem for Ram. So it must be a trick of the Rakshasas. Even in fact, Lakshman pointed out beforehand, before Ram went after the deer, that this was a trick of a Rakshasa. But Ram still went after the deer. And Sita was asking for the hide, that means the skin of the deer, because it was such a beautiful deer. So she was thinking, capture it alive, and if you can't capture it alive, bring back this beautiful golden deer. But Lakshman, he knew it was a demon. He knew it was a Rakshasa trick. So Lakshman was told by Sita Devi when she heard, or Maya Sita, let's say Maya Sita, just to be precise, when she heard this demon crying out, Lakshman, Sita, Sita said, go get your brother, rescue your brother. And then he said, no, I'm not going to do that because he's safe. There's no problem. She said, actually, you are planning for this because you wanted me. You wanted to have me. You were envious of your brother, Ram. And so Lakshman, that's like an insult. Remember, Lakshman is a Kshatriya. And what happens with a Kshatriya, like Krishna says in the Gita, for one who has been honored, what? What does Krishna say? What's the rest of that verse? For one who has been honored, what is worse than death? Dishonor is worse than death. So remember, for a Kshatriya. For a Brahmin, you know, you slap him and he turns the other cheek. Okay, hit me on the other cheek. That's a Brahmin. So you can tell whether someone's a Brahmin or not by insulting them. But don't try it. Just like this Bhriga Muni, he was going to all the different presiding deities and seeing who was actually established in Brahman. So he basically insulted Lord Brahma by ignoring him. Lord Brahma got angry. He insulted Lord Shiva by giving him bad words. And he insulted Lord Vishnu by kicking him in the chest. And what did Lord Vishnu do when he was kicked in the chest? Anyone know?
He massaged his feet.
Yeah, and he also apologized for having a hard chest. Can you do that? I kick you in the chest? You say, oh, I'm sorry that hurt your foot. No, you'll say, ooh, like that. So that's a Brahmin will respond in such a way. He'll forgiveness. Oh, yeah, okay, forgiveness. So you can see. You can actually see who's a Brahmin, who's a Kshatriya. A Vaishya will just try to make money out of it. Just like when I was bit by the dog, I was thinking, how much money can I get that person to give? Now, first I was thinking, let me hurt the dog. But then I was thinking, let me give the mercy to the dog. So the Brahmin nature came in. So in Kali Yuga, we all have these mixed natures, you understand? Sometimes we want to smash someone. Sometimes we want to make money. And sometimes we want to give someone mercy. So Lakshman was a Kshatriya, so he actually... those words were too much for him. It was an insult. And then he left and he went to get Sita Devi. I mean, get to Ram to try to rescue Ram. And then he found Ram with a dead Rakshasa in front of him. And then he understood what had happened. And Ram asked him, why have you left Sita? And Ram knew what was going to happen the whole time. He said, why have you left Sita? And they both rushed back and they found Sita gone, and eventually, as you know, they found Jatayu, who had tried to rescue Sita. Jatayu, of course, was the friend of Dasarath, and he had come to the forest to try to protect Ram and Sita and Lakshman. So let's continue with the Maya Sita thing, because that's also a very interesting story. So throughout this whole pastime of Sita supposedly getting captured, it was actually Maya Sita who was captured. Because had Ravan touched the real Sita, guess what would have happened? He would have burned to ashes immediately. There was no question. I mean, how can a demon touch Lakshmi? Actually, Prabhupada said, when a demon tries to get Sita or Lakshmi, he gets Maya Sita. In other words, Maya Sita is Chanchala. Chanchala means very flickering. So if someone who is a demon tries to have Lakshmi without Ram, because you can't have Lakshmi without Ram, it's not possible. What you get is more difficulty. You may have money. Okay, so Lakshmi and money sometimes are considered to be the same thing. So you may have money, but the money causes distress rather than happiness. So it's not the real Lakshmi or real Sita, it's Maya Sita. So you need to have Ram to have Sita Devi. So this Maya Sita, basically she was rescued by Ram from Ravan, and eventually she entered the fire and the real Sita came out. But interestingly enough, in the Kurma Purana, it describes, and this Kurma Purana was shown by Lord Chaitanya to the Brahmin who was previously fasting. Remember I told the story at the beginning, the Brahmin was fasting because he was upset that Sita Devi had become kidnapped. So in the Kurma Purana it describes that not only... was there Maya Sita? But Maya Sita fell in love with Ram. And so that was a little bit of a problem because Ram had taken a vow of what? Eka Patni Vrata. Only one wife. I mean, a lot of people fell in love with Ram. Even the sages in Dandakaranya fell in love with Ram. Because they had realized, I explained this the other day, the sages of Dandakaranya had realized their siddhadeha, their spiritual forms, as women. That was it. So we all have a siddhadeha or a spiritual body, and that body may not be, is not the same as the body we have now. And it probably won't be looking like the body, and probably won't be the same gender. You know, Rupanuga may be a gopi. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Rupanuga is a gopi. And some people grow long hair and they're trying to become gopis in this life, but but the men should have short hair. So anyway, that's a political comment. So we have a spiritual body. So these stages, when you perform bhakti yoga, you go through the stage of vaidhi bhakti, and then you come to raghunuga bhakti, where you actually start to realize you're a spiritual body, then bhava bhakti, then prema bhakti. And so these sages had achieved prema bhakti. So they... fell in love with Ram in their spiritual bodies. It wasn't like men falling in love with other men like nowadays. You understand what I mean? It wasn't like homosexuality or anything like that. It was the sages in their spiritual body as gopis fell in love with Ram. That's a pure devotee is identifying with his spiritual body, not with this thing, not with his external body. So he doesn't. That's how you get rid of all upadis or designations. So they fell in love with Ram and they asked Ram to marry them, you know, spiritually, of course. And Ram said, of course, at the same time, Eka Pati Brata, I've taken one wife. He actually said, I have one wife, one vow, one promise, and one arrow. Remember, Ram said that? One wife, one promise, and one arrow. So in the same way, Mayasita, go back to the story, Mayasita fell in love with Ram, and she said, marry me, and Ram said, no, can't marry you. But in the future, the same thing he said to the sages at Dandakaranya Forest, in the future you will get a chance to get married to me. So the sages at Dandakaranya Forest, they became gopis later on. And they were the Muni Sara gopis in Braj. And these gopis, they were new gopis. These gopis were prevented, they were married, so they were prevented from going to Krishna when he played his flute by their husbands. You know the story? So Krishna was playing his flute, he called the gopis, and their husbands stopped them. They said, you cannot go to see Krishna. And what did they do? They actually left their bodies, but left their bodies there at the same time. So the husbands thought that their wives were with them. Try that at home. So their husbands thought that their wives were with them, and they were actually with Krishna. Those particular groups, that particular group of gopis. You understand what I mean? So, I mean, if someone wants to be unfaithful to their wife, that's the way to do it, or husband. You divide yourself up in two, you know, you stay at home, and you're cooking, and at the same time you're with Krishna, dancing with Krishna. So, those are the specific group of gopis. There were like 60,000 of them. You know, we talk about how Krishna had like 108 principal gopis, and then 60,108 expanded principal gopis, but he had millions of gopis. There's different groups of gopis. If you read the Vaishnava literatures, you'll see that there's gopis that came from different places, like daughters of certain kings, and they associated with Krishna. So as far as Mayasita, she didn't become a gopi. The story of Mayasita is quite interesting, that later on, she did marry the Lord, but in the form of Venkateshwara. This is a famous story that's told in South India. It's also from the Kurma Purana. What happened is that one time Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi were in the spiritual world, not one time, they're continually in the spiritual world, and we mentioned the story that Brigamuni kicked the chest of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, please excuse me, my chest is too hard, I hurt your foot. But Lakshmi, she was not happy with that. She was thinking, this Brahmin has insulted my husband. And Prabhupada also said as a result of that, the Brahmins generally are not rich. The Brahmins, because they're cursed by Lakshmi. Lakshmi was disturbed. Obviously, if someone kicks your husband, I think you're going to be quite disturbed with them. And if you offend a chaste lady by offending her husband, then you lose everything. And actually, even Prabhupada said in deity worship, if we serve Krishna nicely, Radharani will be pleased. And if we don't serve Krishna nicely, Radharani will be displeased. And the offering will not even be accepted by the deities. So it's a question of serving Krishna. So Radharani is pleased when you serve Krishna. Just like you go to Radhakund and Shyamakund, guess where Radharani bathes more? Does anyone know? In Shyamakund. Radharani bathes in Shyamakund. Krishna bathes in Radhakund. So sometimes devotees think Radhakund is more important than Shyamakund, but Radharani is bathing in Shyamakund. Actually, there's a special place in Shyamakund where Radharani bathes. And there's a pilu tree there. Do you remember this, Rupa Nuga? No, you don't. There's a pilu tree who is an incarnation of a Brahmin who came from Varanasi. And he wanted to take birth in Braj, so he took birth as a pilu tree. And Radharani and her associates would hang their clothes on the tree. It's a bush. It's about this high. Has anyone ever seen the pilu tree there? No. You've seen it, but you just don't remember.
No, when I was not with you.
Oh, you didn't go to... Yeah, that's right. You didn't go to Radhakund, Shamakund with us. So anyway, so Radharani and her associates would hang the clothes on the pilu tree while they went swimming in Shamakund. And that pilu tree, because he was a Brahmin, was fully conscious of what was happening. And later on, the great Acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was able to communicate with the pilu tree and hear about Krishna's pastimes. That's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he writes about all these intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. A lot of them he got from that tree, from the Brahmin, who was a tree. Interesting story, isn't it? There's Radhakund and Shamakund. Anyway, somehow or other, my mind keeps going to Radhakund and Shamakund, excuse me. So anyway, getting back to the story. So Lakshmi was very upset because her husband had been defiled. And she not only cursed the Brahmanas, but she left. And when Narayan is without Lakshmi, he's not very happy. And she basically came down to the earth planet to do austerities because she was very upset with her husband. So Lakshmi and Sita are the same. You understand? Sita is Lakshmi, Lakshmi is Sita. Sita. So then Venkateshwara, he came down to the earth planet to look for Lakshmi. And he was feeling so disturbed that Lakshmi had left that he really came down and was not so rich when he came down. Because when you don't have Lakshmi, you're not rich. Even the Lord, when he doesn't have Lakshmi, he comes as a poor man. It's a famous story. You've heard this story, right? So he was looking for Lakshmi. And while he was looking for Lakshmi, he found Maya Sita. And Maya Sita was actually a queen's daughter, or a very rich man's daughter. So, and he was very poor, so how was he going to marry her? So he had to borrow money from Kuvera. Kuvera, you know, the treasurer of the demigods? And he borrowed money from Kuvera so he could get married to Maya Sita. And then he got married to Maya Sita. And so they were married, they were very happy, and during their honeymoon, Lakshmi came. Nothing like that to spoil your honeymoon. So she came and she said, "What are you doing with this other woman?" And there was some argument. And the Lord, in order to escape from the argument, he turned himself into the deity. That's Balaji. That's Balaji. Venkateshwara saying. So he turned himself into deity, and when Lakshmi and Maya Sita saw that, they decided to become deities also. That's an interesting story. So in other words, Maya Sita got a chance to marry Ram when he appeared as Lord Venkateshwara. And they're worshipped right now, of course, in Tirumala, which is on the hill. Tirupati is below, and Tirumala is above. Tirupati is on the ground level, sea level. And Tirumala is the hill. And so many people, it's the richest temple in India today. And why do people give donations? Because they're trying to help Venkateshwara pay back Kuvera. And he also owes money to Varahadev. Because there's a Varahadev temple there. And Varahadev is Varaha's property. Before you go to see Balaji, you've got to see Lord Varahadev. You know Lord Varahadev, the boar incarnation of the Lord? So then you take permission from him, and then you go to see Balaji. So that's the story of Maya Sita. So in other words, Maya Sita fell in love with Ram. So in the same way, when we hear about Lord Ram's pastimes, of course not necessarily that we want to become Ram's wife or anything, but when we hear about his pastimes, we fall in love with him. Because the pastimes of the Lord and the holy name of the Lord are non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you may ask, and this is another point, we brought it out the other day, but I think it bears bringing out again. You may ask, why don't people who are chanting Ram Nam fall in love with Ram? Because we see a lot of people here in Fiji chanting Ram Nam in the mandalas and things like that. Because the symptom of falling in love with Ram is that you forget or you become detached from this world. I mean, no one who is in love with Ram can perform sinful activities, right? It's impossible. If you're in love with Ram, if you're in love with Krishna, then you're not interested. You're identifying with your spiritual body. So how is it that people who are chanting Ram Nam, this is a question I raised the other day, and I'm raising it again because it's actually quite important. How is it that people who are chanting Ram Nam are not becoming detached from this world? And the reason is that they are actually not chanting the Shuddha Nam, the pure name. They're chanting what we call Namabash, a reflection of the name. Not the pure name of Ram, because in order to chant the pure name of Ram, two things have to be there. They have to receive the pure name from the cyclic succession. Sampradaya Vinaya Namantras Te Nishvala Mataha. The statement is, if you don't receive your mantra from the cyclic succession, it has no benefit. And then also, Vaishnava Mukod Girnam Bhutam Harikatam Ritam Shravananaiva Kartavyam Sharpa Chistiyatapa. If you hear about Krishna from someone who is not acting on the Vaishnava platform, then it's poisonous. That's the second reason. And another reason is you have to follow strictly. So in other words, you have to hear about Ram, hear Ram Nam from someone who is chanting the pure name. Because the pure name can only be chanted when you have bhakti. And bhakti is given by the devotees of the Lord in disciplic succession. So therefore, one can chant Ram Namabash for millions of years and they won't become detached from the world. Whereas you have someone like Valmiki who was chanting the pure name because he got it from the Sapta Rishis. Or you have someone like the prostitute, Haridas Thakur. We told that story. Haridas Thakur was approached by the prostitute and she heard the Shuddha Nam, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, just three nights she heard, and she became a pure devotee. Three nights, can you imagine? And she didn't even have a good intention. Her intention was to allure Haridas Thakur and cause him to fall down. But because she heard the pure name, pure devotee, right? And there's many other instances of this too. Even Jagai and Madai, they were getting drunk outside of Srivas Thakur's house. We should have our temples near the bars. Or at least go on Harinam near the bars. I mean, we used to do that, like go on Harinam at night in all of where all the bars were. The drunks would come out and dance with us. Later they became devotees. So, they became drunk with the holy name. So the point is that, yes, Jagan Madai, they were hearing the holy name, the pure name from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and even imitating the chanting, but they were hearing the pure name, the Shuddha Nam, so they became purified after some time. And of course, when they apologized to Lord Nityananda for doing what they did, what Madai did. So the pure name has to be heard in order for it to work. Otherwise, one can chant Ram Nam forever and ever. And it's not the actual Ram Nam. It's not transcendental. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the holy name is not simply, does not simply come by the movement of the lips and the tongue. It must descend. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. So this is the point I wanted to make. And we made that before, but I think it's very important to understand that particular point. So we'll go on and read the next verse. We have time. And today at midday, we're going to talk about Lord Ram's appearance. You know, the story. That's why I specifically haven't talked about the appearance in class in the morning. Because we're going to talk about the story of Rishi Sringa, which is a very interesting story. And how Lord Ram appeared, his brothers appeared, and all those other nice things. Because we're reserving that story for later. So we'll go on and read the 11th text in the 10th chapter, 9th canto, Srila Prabhupada's translation and commentary. Rakshodamena Rikava Vipine Samaksham Vaideha Raja Duvita Yapaya Pitayam Vratravane Kripannavat Priyaya Viyuktaha Sri Sanghinam Gatim Iti Pratai. Pratayam chachara. So this verse reads, we'll just do the translation. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. So purport by the language Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. In this verse, the words Stri Sanginam Gatimiti indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord himself. According to moral instructions, Grihe Naram Vivarajayet, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances, but still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramachandra, when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his personal example. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sangha, of Sri Sanghi. But the situation of Lord Ramachandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of the material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita is spiritually understood as vipralamba, which is an activity of the Ladini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead belonging to the Shingara Ras, the mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love displaying the symptoms called Sattvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, Murcha, and Unmara. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchidananda Vigraha. That's from the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, text 1. The eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. As explained by Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranaya Ve Kritir Ravini Shaktihi. The dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord is the original source of all pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramachandra therefore manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer. But spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. This is further explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 11. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanamashritam panam bhavam ajanato mamabhuta maheshwaram. One who does not know the spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead thinks of the Lord as an ordinary human being. But the Lord's mind, intelligence, and senses can never be affected by material conditions. This fact is further explained in the Skanda Purana as quoted by Madhvacharya. Nityapurna sukadhyan swarupo so yato vibhu atosya ramahityakya kasya dukham kutom vapi tatapi loka shikshartam adukho dukavartivat antaritam loka drishya sitam asit smaran hiva. Yanpanartam punanicha sambanda swatmanasriyaha ayodhyaya vanir gachan sarvalokasya cheshvaraha pratyaksham tu shriya sardam jagamannadir avyayaha nakshatramasa ganitam trayodasha sahasratam ramaloka samam chakre Samastam Shiti Mandalam Namo Ramo Ramahiti Sarvesham Abhavattara Sarvo Ramai Sarvo Rama Mayo Loko Yadaramas Vapalayat. It was actually impossible for Ravana to take away Sita. This is what I explained before. This form of Sita taken away by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt and the real Sita came out from the fire. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection, for as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by Rakshasas like Ravana. Here the word Vaideha Raja Duhi Kari indicates that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramachandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raj. And when she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should be always protected. According to the Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman's being independent. Asa Moksham. For a woman cannot protect herself independently. So there's a lot of information in this particular purport given by Srila Prabhupada. And that, you see, I have about 5 more minutes to cover all those things. Of course, the point I wanted to make is this is not a denigration of women when it talks about the problem that people have by their being attached to women. The point is that if we're attached, if women are or men are attached to anything material, it causes distress and pain. I mean, for example, I was thinking of the story of Sanatana Goswami when he left the prison. His servant was carrying 8 gold coins, and those 8 gold coins almost caused the death of Sanatana Goswami, because what happened is that there was an astrologer who worked with the hotel keeper who knew that he had 8 gold coins, and they were ready to kill Sanatana Goswami for those 8 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami gave those 8 gold coins away. So the point is that any sort of material attachment in this world ultimately causes pain, because you can't ultimately keep everything in this world. So that was the first point. I don't want to just dwell on the thing about the Sri Sangha, because if someone is attached to anything in this world, it is pain. It causes pain. So ultimately, our attachment should be to Krishna. One is attached to Janmaishvarya, Shrutasya, Shibir, Edamana, Dapuman, as Queen Kunti says. One is attached to his so-called good birth, you know, the gotra that he's born in, or she's born in, Aishwarya, opulence, Shrutasya, learning, or Shibir, beauty, you know, long hair, beauty. So, one's attached to any of these things, it causes pain, because you can't keep those things. So that's the point I was making about that. Now, as far as the point about Vipralamba Seva, which is a more important point for this particular class, is that sometimes people get bewildered when they hear the story of the Ramayana, especially not the kidnapping so much, but the sending of Sita Devi away. When the citizens, later on, when Sita Devi was brought back by Lord Ramchandra to Ayodhya, Lord Ramchandra was crowned the king, some of the citizens were complaining. They were complaining because they were saying, look what sort of example Lord Ramchandra is setting, because his wife was in the house of someone else, and now he's accepted her back. And because they were complaining, Lord Ramchandra was feeling that he couldn't carry out his kingly duties properly, because it's important for someone in a position of responsibility to actually have a good reputation. The king has to be respected. So because of that, that's the external reason he sent Sita Devi away. Because when one takes the position of king, one actually has to consider that responsibility more important than his personal life. And that's also a point in the Krishna consciousness movement. When one takes a position of, let's say, a guru or something like that, one has to sacrifice his personal life and his personal desires to serve the mission of the spiritual master. So Lord Ramchandra was thinking like that. But the actual reason he sent Sita Devi away was to increase their love. Now you may say, how does that increase your love? But even in the material world, we have this statement, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You ever heard about that before? So when you're absent from someone, you hanker for them. So when Krishna was there in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, he left Vrindavan, at least to the external vision of the residents of Vrindavan, to increase their hankering. And they loved Krishna so much, they couldn't even bear to be separated from Krishna for one moment. Isn't it? Yugayitam nimishena, chakshusha prabhashayitam, shunyayitam jagatsarvam govindavidahiname. Even one instant they couldn't bear to be separated from Krishna. That's real love. Even the gopis were upset because they blinked their eyes for a second. They cursed Lord Brahma because he made them have eyes that blinked. They were envious of fish. Why were they envious of fish? Because fish's eyes don't blink. They had so much love, and there's a story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that when Krishna went out to pasture the cows during the day, the other residents of Vrindavan couldn't even speak. They were just standing stunned, watching for Krishna to come back. That's how much love they had for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And so you can imagine. So when Krishna did something like leaving Vrindavan, when he was 16 years old, and leaving his girlfriends and his coward boyfriends and everything like that, that was to bring them closer together. Because in the spiritual realm, when you experience and think of someone, you're with them. When you chant their holy name, you're with them. In the material world, even when you're physically with someone, you're not with them. That may come as a shock to you. Because, you know, I'm not, of course, by sound vibration, I'm with you. But physically, you know, I'm not this body. I'm not in this room. I'm a spirit soul. But I think I'm in this room. You know, I think I'm a guru. I think I'm sitting on a big seat like this. And I'm thinking, we'll take prasadam tonight at Rupanuga's. But actually, Krishna says in the Gita, the soul, the self-realized soul, sees when the body is sitting up, rising down, eating, evacuating, he's not doing anything. So spiritually is the real connection. So when you chant Krishna's names, and Prabhupada said we should chant Krishna's names in the mood of separation. This mood of separation is not just for the gopis, not just for the residents of Vrindavan, not just for Sita Devi, but for us too, to imbibe that mood, to chant, isn't it? Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram, please, Krishna, save me. That's why we recite the Shishastika, to chant, Krishna, help, Krishna, take me, I want you, Krishna. But we are not feeling that intensity, that mood, isn't it? We're chanting so inattentively. It's like I notice in the morning when the devotees are chanting, sometimes they're talking. Sometimes they're thinking of so many other things. But we should chant with that mood of separation. And that mood of separation means connection with Krishna by that intensity. So this is the important thing. And the final point Prabhupada makes in the purport before we read the deities is that women must be protected. And this is a very important point too in Vedic society. Of course, you know, women can have jobs and everything like that, but they must be protected for several reasons. I mean, obvious reason, the men are stronger than the women. Another reason is that, and please, women, don't get insulted by this, the women are more emotional than the men. Right? Usually. And they can be manipulated, cheated. Like some man comes along and says to the women, you have beautiful eyelashes. And the women will follow some women may follow them anywhere, right? But if I go up to Rupanuga and say, you have beautiful eyelashes, he'll think, you're in Maya. What kind of guru are you? But if I walk up to any of the women and say that, they'll say, wow, what a wonderful guru. Doing something like that. So therefore, that's an emotional thing. So one has to control the emotions by the intelligence. And the women can certainly do that. By becoming devotees, the women can become more intelligent, Prabhupada said. And a man becomes more intelligent. If someone is not a devotee, they're less intelligent, whether they're man or woman. So we're not denigrating anybody. We just understand the differences between the men and women. There's a practical difference. And if you haven't recognized that difference by now, maybe you need to go back to school. Right? Like Prabhupada would say to the people who wanted women's liberation, Prabhupada said, if they want women's liberation, want men and women to be equal, they should make it that the men can have children. Isn't it? Prabhupada says it. Let the men have children, but the men are taking advantage of the women in modern society, at least in Western society, and leaving the women pregnant, and the women have no one to take care of them. And it turns out that most of the people who are in favor of women's liberation are men, because they want to exploit the women. Prabhupada commented on that. So the ladies should be protected. That's a nice situation. Husband, father, a son. And then you have a nice society like that. When the ladies are protected, the men are taking their responsibility. And of course, there's modern propaganda that shouldn't happen. But that causes a disturbance in society. Arjuna, in fact, mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says if the women are not protected, there'll be unwanted progeny. Remember that in Bhagavad Gita? That's one of Arjuna's arguments. And Krishna, of course, isn't swayed by that argument because he wants Arjuna to uphold religious principles. But at the same time, it's a bona fide argument. And Prabhupada himself, in the purport, supports that particular argument. And so we should understand that is proper society. You know, the men protect the women. And then also Varnashram. There's nothing wrong with Varnashram. Varnashram means we have Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and everybody does their duty. And then Brahmacharis, Grahasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. So, any quick questions? Because they're ready to blow the conch shell on me. Quick question. If she's different from Sita Devi, Maya Sita, how can she what? How can she exhibit ecstatic symptoms? Because she's a pure devotee. Pure devotees, like Durga, who is also Lord Shiva's wife, is called Vaishnavi. She exhibits ecstatic symptoms. She's a pure devotee. Why can't she? Any pure devotee, that's not a simple thing, of course. There's different bhavas. There's vibhava. What's a vibhava? Does anyone know? No. A vibhava means that which excites you, like the stimulation for the other bhavas. That means if you see a peacock feather, you feel ecstasy. The peacock feather is a vibhava. There's two types of vibhavas, a lambana and a dipana. That means Krishna directly or things related to Krishna. So Mukunda, who was one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, saw a peacock feather as the Nawab, the Muslim magistrate or king, was being fanned, and he fell down on the ground. And his falling down on the ground is another type of bhava called Vyabhichari bhava. You understand Vyabhichari bhava? That means uncontrolled, intermittent ecstasy. Anyway, I don't want to speak about all the bhavas today. But the point is that a pure devotee can experience. Of course, only Krishna's, like Radharani and her associates, can experience Mahabhav. That's the highest point. But Radharani's love for Krishna goes beyond praying. Pranaya and man means anger, and finally Mahabhav. But that's something we can't imitate. But we can also feel some happiness when we're chanting. It's stated by Narottama Das Thakur, Goranga Balite Habi Pulaka Sharir. When will that day be when I chant the name Goranga and I feel the hairs on my body stand on end? So even we can experience those things when we become purified by following the order of the spiritual master and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission and preaching Krishna consciousness. Then we will come to that point. Vishaya Acharya Kavi Shudahabhimana Kavi Hama He Rabo Sri Vrindavana. When will that day be? When I'll get rid of all these vishayas, these impurities, and my mind will become absorbed in Vrindavan. Okay? All right, that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Television now. It's working now. You checked it this morning?